Today's Tuesday, July 3rd. It's the day before a major holiday here in the U.S.
The most important holiday in the entire world.
Oh, I have American flags. We have those flags. We should bring them in here and, like, do a whole thing, because USA.
Oh, we hear a lot of complaints from people that are not from America that are like, I can't follow this. It's all American news. It's like, why not? No.
Hey, listen, admit it. Half to three quarters of the shows you watch, come on. They're from America.
It's definitely also the case that whatever bad policy we implement here is coming to the rest of the world, with a possible exception of Australia.
I think the EU's ahead of us at this point.
Maybe. California is really racing to catch up, though. They've got this new data privacy law that's the toughest in the U.S.
Well, so. Toughest, but not quite as tough as what almost passed last fall.
They sort of admit, and who was this article? CNET. They passed this one because the one that the billionaire was proposing was way worse in terms. I don't know if the word worse is good there.
Better for us, worse for telecom.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. So they kind of were like, ooh, let's not ever let that even go to a vote. Let's just push this through. But it's okay. It's got some protection. It's very GDPR-ish.
The subtle difference in this privacy law versus a lot of other privacy laws is that it seems to say that you can still have a relationship with companies. You can just ask the company not to do anything with your data and or to disclose a list of third parties that have handled your data or that they have sold your data to. And that is sort of the difference. Because I think with GDPR, a lot of companies are taking the position, just don't do business with us and we're not going to collect your data. But with this privacy law, it seems like you can still do business with the company. You can just ask the company not to do anything with your data.
That's going to be, if it's retroactive, which it might be, can you imagine all the reporters who are going to have scathing articles about, this is the horrible companies that Facebook sold my data to.
Well, Facebook was a big supporter of this bill, it mentions in the article. Yeah.
Well, again, because I think, you know, this is like staunch the bleeding time.
Yeah, they're trying to look better than maybe they really are.
We've got kind of a follow-up. Remember that lady that got hundreds of calls from Time Warner and she took them to court and won? Well, bad news for her. The court has thrown out the Time Warner cable penalty of $229,500. The federal appeals court has basically sided with Time Warner. And it's like, Time Warner's like, we don't know if we constitute what is a robo-dialer in terms of dialing this woman over and over again.
How many? It was
75 after the lawsuit began.
Yeah, like even after she sued him, it continued. And you wonder, was that spite or just no one caring?
Maybe they put a whole wing of like a call center. They're like, call this lady incessantly.
She tried to quit. And they said, don't you quit us.
Surely she should have some remedy under the law. I mean, come on.
If this were a confused young man calling her about a relationship, he would be in jail right now.
Yeah, this would be harassment.
Yeah, for sure.
So is this the case totally over? Because I would think that with an appeal like this, it's totally over. But the language here seems to suggest that the lower courts need to figure out if they're a robo-dialer.
Right, yeah. He left it up for somebody else to decide. Basically, he threw away, because they awarded her four times the average penalty because it was like aggravated or something. And he says that's not okay and we must determine if they're robo-callers. So you wonder if maybe somebody got to him, you know, because he was like, well, I can't throw it out. That's too far. But for this amount of money, I'll kick it back.
Wow. If that lady was smart, she would go to them and say, it's like, look, for $100,000, I'll just settle it right now. Because they probably take that because lawyers are expensive.
Well, they've already paid the judge.
Well,
her lawyer was not reached for comment, according to that article. So
she also might not be answering numbers from them.
NPR's got a follow-up on our story last week about Amazon selling face recognition software and Amazon employees sort of saying, hey, why are we selling?
Shareholders. What was the shareholders?
So, well, I thought shareholders. There were a lot of other groups that were upset, but the Orlando police are ending a test of Amazon's real-time face recognition system. This is an actual screenshot, apparently.
It's recognition with a K.
Yeah.
Which is dumb. You should never use K when you could use a C.
You know who else uses a K for a C?
Am I right?
Russia.
You're wrong.
Krista.
There should be... A recognition with a K would be more correct. By the way, I would reckon it.
I don't know. This story... Did you feel like Amazon was being honest? Because they said, no, we weren't looking at any normies. We were just tracking our own cops just to see if it would work.
No, I did not feel like there was any. Especially, it's like, it looks like they're tracking dogs and cars and people. And
if I lost Rue, could they find the Rue through the scary?
I bet dogs are easy because of the color patterns.
I don't know. Like, what if there was a dog that was part of Rue's litter? Would they recognize that and be like, "Oh, this might be Rue"?
Well,
one of her siblings.
I guess you could maybe trick it.
And they're like, "Oh no, this dog's afraid of a mushroom." And
but I think Amazon did agree to back down, didn't they?
They did.
Yes.
And these guys announced this after that, but they were like, "Oh, we just wrapped it up naturally. It was supposed to expire on this day anyway, so we're not really backing down, but we won't be doing that anymore."
It's totally for fine. DSL reports. Has a funny story of Schadenfreude, I guess. Remember Miguel Santiago? He was sort of saying, he's a California dude, and I don't know how to like succinctly give a backstory on this.
We did a story about it recently.
So California had the replacement for net neutrality at the state level, and it was pretty comprehensive. And the day before it was supposed to go into effect, he called a vote to strip out all the important parts of it, and the vote passed.
So people, a group of citizens, I guess, is getting together to set up this banner on a billboard near his office or outside his office or whatever. It's like Miguel Santiago is helping Trump kill net neutrality because people are kind of upset about this.
And I'm sure, just like the FCC, he will listen to and value all comments made at that phone number and not completely ignore them.
That billboard could only be better if it had like the scary eye flash like that you see in the memes.
Or like meme sadness, whatever. Yeah. It's really telling when we can't even get basic law passed that just says data is data. If I buy 20 gigabytes of data from you, I'm entitled to use 20 gigabytes of data. And where we see telecom companies now is saying, oh no, the 20 gigabytes that you bought from us is earmarked only for HBO or Hulu or Netflix or whatever. You can't use that 20 gigabytes of data for anything else, which is wrong.
The dude who introduced the bill is going to pull it if this doesn't change, which it doesn't seem like it is. So it's not going to go through in the bad way, at least, which is a good thing because maybe it can be replaced later on.
Yeah, hollow victories.
Well, this is more like not losing the whole platoon. Lefty survived to tell the tale.
I've seen that movie. It doesn't end well. Also, another follow-up. There was a guy that sent death threats to Ajit Pai. And his family.
His children.
And
list of preschools and was like, I'm going to find your kids and I'm going to kill them.
I'll do that. Why would you do that?
You got to...
the email address the email he sent it from.
I can't remember what it was. It was like stubblemanliness@gmail.com.
All caps.
Stubblemanliness.
What was the reason he wanted to use that email address is because it sounded...
tougher.
Tougher,
It does sound tough. I would not want to mess with stubblemanliness.
You know, the only way I would be more frightened by that email is if it had XXX420 somewhere in it.
Incoming forum sign-ups, stubblemanliness, 420@gmail.com.
This guy also, you get the impression once the cops came and talked to him, he didn't quite understand that that wasn't allowed.
Yeah.
So he apologized. He wrote a letter to Ajit Pai apologizing.
You mean I can't do terrible things like that on the internet?
Well, listen, no. I don't like Ajit Pai, but like threatening his children who are in preschool, that's pretty...
Yeah, I mean,
like, that's pretty far out there.
Threatening is stupid. You know, you kill the children first, then you write the letter.
Incoming demonetization.
Pro criminal tips, I guess.
Well, so remember the New York Attorney General was investigating those comments to the FCC when the FCC was like, hey, we're thinking about rolling back net neutrality. Does the public have any thoughts on this? And all of a sudden, all these people showed up saying, yeah, you should, you know, companies should totally be allowed to sell you blocks of data earmarked for a specific purpose because data is clearly not data. And so there's an investigation, several investigations. One of them is the New York State Attorney General, who has been investigating the FCC comments for that. And the FCC will not turn over any evidence to the New York State Attorney General. And that seems crazy.
They won't turn over evidence to anybody. They won't respect freedom of information requests. They won't give anything they're subpoenaed to give. They're basically just
running roughshod over.
Yeah. Fight me, IRL.
Federal law trumps state law. It's like, I don't think that... Come on now, fellas, come on.
But I think one good thing about this is it shows that the truth is probably devastating.
Yeah.
So if we can ever fight through all this red tape and get to it, it's going to be amazing.
When it eventually leaks.
Yeah. One of the reports from the FCC or something the FCC said was, well, you know, we got a lot of fake comments from Russia that were in support of keeping Obama's net neutrality. And it's like, come on now, fellas. Don't be dishonest. Don't be even more dishonest. Why is this? The really exciting thing here from the New York Attorney General's perspective is that people in New York State have had their identities impersonated on these comments forms. Like, their real names and address, people inside New York State, including some senators, had their identities impersonated or their identities used for these comment forms. So this is not really like an activist attorney general doing this. I'm glad that this attorney general is not looking the other way with this, but it's also kind of telling that not a lot of other people are really doing anything about this at the state level, because, you know, we've got 22 million comments submitted on this, and a lot of those were not legit with real people. So I don't know. It's crazy. The feds have run a Bitcoin laundering sting for over a year. So this is news that has come out. So apparently the feds...
Look at this picture here.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Bitcoin, because you don't know...
Like, I should have had the Bitcoin icon in the eyes.
A running joke on Level 1 is always that the news stories that involve Bitcoin always have the most terrible and or interesting thumbnails.
But that one, at least that one, is that binary or is that like a hash?
There's like some kind of code thing going on in the eye. Don't worry, YouTube's compression has made it to where they can't tell what it is.
They just know it's a skull.
This is a step up from the gold Bitcoin stamps. Yeah.
So the reason I think that this story is here is just a reminder that we don't need more laws now that we have Bitcoin, because look, they ran a sting. It's like, I want to buy stuff with Bitcoin. Let's do a Bitcoin for cash thing. It's like, oh, you bought drugs. We can see that in the blockchain or whatever. Now that we've converted to cash, we know who you are, and so we can track you down. Good job, law enforcement. You didn't need any extra laws to catch people doing illegal things.
But it took them like a little bit longer, and it would have made my job easier. I could have gotten cake in the conference room.
Also,
it was Bob's birthday.
Also, the things they're going after here are arguably not that bad. I mean...
People are buying Adderall without a prescription.
Yeah, people are...
Canadian contacts.
People are putting things in their body that the government doesn't approve of. Oh, wow. And we're spending a ton of resources to track them down. Although we probably stole other crypto, so this probably did pay for itself at least.
I just want contact lenses without going into a database. Is that so wrong? The T-Mobile and Sprint CEOs actually have testified before Congress this week. And they have told that if they're allowed to merge, that is Sprint and T-Mobile, that will actually increase competition because, well, let's face it, Sprint and T-Mobile by themselves are no competition for Verizon or AT&T.
Yeah,
that's the reasoning anyway.
It's an amazing mental gymnastics that they do, but these people are well paid and they're convincing to some people, I guess. So they really, their argument really is 3 is better than 4.
Let's not forget that AT&T was almost allowed to buy, was it T-Mobile? I think it was T-Mobile.
I think it was T-Mobile.
AT&T was almost allowed to buy T-Mobile, except their lawyer had created two files on their desktop. One was all of the reasons we should never be allowed to merge, and all of the reasons we should definitely be allowed to merge. And they accidentally uploaded the wrong one to the Federal Public Information Response Portal, and it was really damning why they should never be allowed to merge, and that is why they were not allowed to merge.
This article points out a lot of good points about T-Mobile, because T-Mobile is just trying to survive. They have to be good to the customer. They have to give you things like unlimited that's actually unlimited, and cut prices for all these other gimmicks that they're not going to give you on the other plans. And so they point out, you know, all these just like, well, they had to do this because T-Mobile did this. And there's many different examples of that. And so if we lose T-Mobile, if we lose that scrappy fighter who has to cut margins, then it's going to be real bad.
Well, listen, we've got Appalachian Wireless here. They're the next big telecom company.
That was a brilliant business plan right there, Appalachian Wireless.
It was actually.
It was like, ain't nobody ever going to have wireless in these mountains. And somebody was like, they will, and I will own it.
And it worked.
Yeah.
I see ads for that everywhere.
Well, they're the only game in town once you get in the mountains.
The Intercept has a great article on the wiretap rooms.
A
NSA's
long
hidden,
article.
Hidden spy long. Hubs in 8 U.S. cities.
But this is not new information.
Not really,
We've
no.
known about like these. I think it's been sort of a conspiracy theory, for quite some time. And it was a leaked document by the NSA that basically spelled out, it's like, yeah, here's where they are and here's what they are, which is basically just backbone vampire taps for the NSA. They're just scooping up everything.
All of the internet that goes through everything. And they also talk about how it's like, we're let's say that we want to spy on somebody that's in Canada and they're talking with somebody in Germany. Guess what? That goes through America. We could just spy on it through one of these taps because all of the backbones go through these cities.
And there's 7 of them that they know about. And this article is insanely exhaustive. It's tough to get through, but if you've got 30 minutes to kill, it actually details each building and has pictures. It's really cool to go through and look at these. It's like evil secret buildings that are just there for spying purposes.
Oh, and we're not the only people doing this. I'm sure there exists other infrastructure like this in other countries for exactly this purpose.
There may be more that we don't know about.
We did the story about Germany, and they actually legalized it.
Yeah, so they could just talk about it.
Yeah, they could tap. Because they have, like, the whole Middle East and parts of China go through Germany, and maybe Australia or something, and they're like, yeah, we can look at all that. That's fine. Go ahead.
It's not just internet records. It's also emails, phone calls, online chats, basically anything that goes through the web. And a lot of that, a lot of the point-to-point infrastructure is not as encrypted as you might think it would be. So like when you get a leased line from AT&T, until Google found out that they were being spied upon in this way, a lot of traffic from one Google data center to the other was not encrypted because it was basically a private circuit. It's not technically on the internet, but it is part of the phone company's infrastructure. And having this type of spying apparatus in the telephone and communications infrastructure means that even if you have a circuit that's not on the internet, it's still vulnerable to this type of spying. And so that's why Google sort of had to double down on their quote-unquote internal security. And a lot of other companies have and should have as well. So, of course, that sort of bleeds into our next story, kind of, which feels really good. And then you think about it, and it's like, oh... Because the NSA is deleting more than 685 million call records. And they're saying, it's like, look, we got communications records, call logs. It's not the actual calls themselves. It's like the metadata. But they're saying, well, it's a turd sandwich because it's not accurate. So we're going to delete it.
It's taking up too much space. We don't want it anymore.
You know how they know it's inaccurate? Those buildings.
Yeah, this... But also, it's...
So did anything really change here? It's like, oh, no, that data set.
You think about... what the cost was to get all that and how much trouble it was and all the court cases and lying to everybody. And then it's no good. But then our answer to that is we'll just scrap it and start over. Not this might be a bad idea. Yeah.
It's a huge waste of funding.
How many,
but not this time.
Like, I really wonder, it's like, did we target, like, you know, a middle school teacher in Saskatchewan that, you know, was subject to like black ops at Guantanamo Bay because there was an off by one error in the CSV logs from these call records, and they're like, oh, yeah, it turns out she wasn't talking to a terrorist in Germany. It was the next entry in the call log.
Yeah, I like how it was broken is national security. We can't talk about that. But it could actually be, you know, like the indexes were bad, which it's just
something
minor. It's incredible that, because you think about how Orwellian all this is and how horrific all this data collection is, and you sort of assign like a supervillain like vibe, but it's still the government and they're still terrible at things. So they just screw it up too. And it,
but how were companies authorized to do this in the first place? Was it secret? Did the companies just do it willingly because it's like, yay, good company?
Yeah, they talked about it was a FISA ruling. So
nice.
Secret courts.
Yeah, secret courts with no oversight.
USA, 4th of July, USA.
That is not the spirit of 1776. Those men did not think that way.
They probably would be blown away by the magic.
Literally would be blown away by a drone because they would have large followings, and that's not allowed.
The independent thought alarms would go off so hard, it would be a crater for a 3-mile radius.
Jefferson-level warning.
DARPA unveils a $100 million EDA project. So this is they want to build a silicon compiler. So the DARPA thinks that the next great applications of the future are going to involve spinning custom silicon to do the work, not, you know, a general purpose computer, a very, very purpose built computer. They want software that can make short work of that.
But you look at the people who are involved, it's like NVIDIA and Qualcomm, and I'm thinking, this would not benefit them. Why would they support this?
Well, if they could lock up a new industry as it's invented, they might be interested in that.
But the whole idea here is it all has to be open.
Yeah.
Because the idea is sort of like open source silicon. So they're going to have this big database, and you can get in there, and it's like, well, I need to create a product that does this. And you should be able to have building blocks to start with that have been submitted by these people. I just can't see them doing it.
It would be a good, like, this could be a good project for repairing international relations, because there is some concern that, you know, the silicon has been co-opted by the intelligence apparatus. SIM cards, random number generators, you know, all this encryption depends on numbers being random, and when the numbers aren't random, that's bad news for security. So what, you know, I'm being hopelessly, retardedly idealistic here, but imagine a future where it's like we can cherry pick known, good, vetted silicon components and put those onto, you know, an IC and be like, this, the engineering in this integrated circuit is open and well-known and free of state-level backdoors. And all the states can work together to agree that no one has any backdoors. That just...
And there's no patent on that, and no one's going to do it.
Yeah. Makes me sad. Because it could be so good. We could all be assured of everybody's security that no one is doing any funny business.
Well, at the same time, it could be that U.S. and China and the EU agree that we're going to put this hidden backdoor in it.
But no one else needs to know.
So no one knows, but we'll all spy the same.
That's probably what... I mean, there's credible evidence that that's happened with, like, SIM card manufacturing and other stuff like that, so... The UK has revealed a centralized biometric database that sounds like an absolute nightmare. So I'm just going to stop right there and say that the UK, you need to go into a room with Australia, and I'll give you a topic, and that is this biometric database. Because Australia recently just pulled out of this, and it was not good news for them.
Yeah, well, they just screwed theirs up. There wasn't any concern about freedom or privacy. But this...
Accuracy.
We actually talked about this, and the amazing amount of points, the amount of columns in this table, because you got voice... All the usual fingerprint, iris, thumbprint. What are the other ones they do? You know, eye color, height, weight, that kind of stuff. So it's going to be a very, very comprehensive database on each person.
For stealing their identity.
I guess.
So when it gets leaked, you know, you're really screwed.
It's like this ATM camera footage. It looks an awful lot like you because it's low resolution and this guy's just wearing a cheap silicone mask. I mean... Seems like you.
When they do the next FCC call-in period, for when they strip even more of our online rights, they can simulate your voice calling in and, you know, expressing your want for that reduction.
The AI is going to... It's like, that wasn't me. That was somebody that stole it. It's like, oh, that's a likely story. You matched 17 of 37 points from the database.
There was a comment in that article that was like, you know, from people who were outside of it who were like, you know, we're really concerned about, you know, making sure this is ethical, and then the people who are running it, they're like, oh, no, it'll be fine, it'll be totally legal. And then some other people were mentioning, like, but there aren't really any laws about this kind of thing. It's like,
Well, yeah, I mean, it'll be legal, yeah, because they're making the laws.
The laws, exactly. So it seems a little off.
Well, like, the secret courts are legal here.
Yeah. Oh, that is some Thomas Jefferson-level alert. Is that what you were saying earlier? It's like somebody's mashing that button right now.
We've hit a Jefferson on the corruption scale.
There was one other article on this UK thing that described they piloted the system already, and it was described as horrifically inaccurate.
Was it 90%?
Yeah.
It was very high.
But once you've got the system, you can just fine tune it. It's like, once we get it in place,
then it'll be like 85%
well,
wrong.
Yeah, you get 9 extra people, right? So you're looking for one, you get 9. You arrest all 9 and you weed down from there. Mm-hmm. That's not a problem.
I seem to recall revolutions being fought over similar There's, one other thing that has not escaped the gaze of Senator Ron Wyden is your Tinder photos, which is really creepy because he's like 69. He's old.
He's married.
I expected, as well. Married, has kids. Yeah, when I read this article, I expected it to be like the porn VHS law where some senator was on Tinder and somebody got his photos. But I don't think he was actually on Tinder.
No.
He's just, this is something he felt strongly about.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was thinking that was going to go too. But so until recently, Tinder did not actually encrypt. They encrypted the login, but they didn't actually encrypt your activity on the site. Now they do, because that is just basic internet hygiene.
I guess they did that. They actually made that change back in February, but now it's like, official.
I remember we did a story about that where they talked about the website was HTTPS, but when you're actually sending images or swiping, that was not. And people could actually, based on the size of the packets, figure out which direction you were swiping and then pull the image.
Yeah.
So they could actually get your likes and dislikes.
Which
this
totally
has a strong affinity for brunettes.
Yeah, someone somewhere was building that database. If not for, it could have been for totally commercial purposes. You don't know. Because, again, all of the internet traffic for, all of American citizens runs through one of those 8 choke points. So doing that kind of mass data analysis is right up marketing companies' alleys. They love doing that kind of stuff. So it is being done. Don't worry.
I was under the impression that marketing companies don't like to do anything.
Well, they like to sniff data.
That's true.
They huff it. They huff the data.
They're like the mustard man.
They got a rag soaked with your personal information. And they're just sitting at the desk all day. Yeah, that's the stuff.
And they take a bite of cat food.
Venezuela has done the impossible and blocked Tor. So, yeah. Venezuela implemented DNS controls, and so this spike is Tor utilization from Venezuela. And so Venezuela escalated stuff that's blocked. I didn't think you could actually block Tor completely.
They're blocking a lot more than that, and I think they've basically just painted with a broad brush to get rid of it. That's probably a couple people still doing it, but I think it was so bad in Venezuela, even the normies were getting into Tor.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's a way around it, but most people aren't going to know.
And it's more sophisticated than a DNS block, so.
Also, think about how tough it is to learn about how to use Tor when your internet is already horribly, horribly censored.
Yeah.
Sorry, Venezuela.
And filtered.
If only we had never built this technology in the first place, the citizenry would be able to alert us to the atrocities that are occurring there.
Oh, I think everyone knows. I mean, maybe not how bad. Maybe not the scale, but we know.
The world
is, what's happening.
Is quite aware of what's going on in Venezuela. Maybe not.
Facebook has reversed its ban on cryptocurrency ads. This, I think we predicted this. We were like, that's going to last about 10 minutes. Because Coinbase and other places like that are legitimizing this type of advertising. So, like, your Uncle Frank's Vuvuzela coin is still not going to be able to advertise, but Coinbase can totally advertise.
Yeah, they're vetting it now, and you have to have Frank's some kind Vuvuzela. Of government ID. The Vuvuzela coin's going to be a thing now. So, it's still out of reach for everybody except the big ones like Coinbase and whoever the big exchanges are. You also still can't do ICOs or binary options in Bitcoin, which is basically like, betting up or down.
I noticed that Google seemed to also start allowing this type of ad because I got an ad for some type of ether that is like SimCity, where you can buy real estate and develop your block of city real estate like SimCity and have it somehow produce ether based on other people doing stuff on your city block. And it's like, this is SimCity, except you make money. I don't understand.
Well, I don't know if they mentioned it in this article, but Facebook was also looking into their own crypto for funding things on Facebook. So I think part of that is they want the stigma to go away because they might be getting into it.
Damn it. Facebook is also getting into more data leaks, maybe not. I don't know.
I don't think this is necessarily Facebook's fault. So nametests.com, which they talk about it's a quiz app, but it's more like a BuzzFeed type, survey thing. It's really stupid. They give, like, what tattoo should you get?
Which carburetor are you?
What 3 qualities are unique about you? Enhance your profile picture beauty. That's not even a question. What are the questions there? So the third-party website, nametest.com, was pulling extra data onto that website, and then you could access it on that website before they fixed it. So,
is that really a story?
And it was I don't think it was the same as the Cambridge thing where it was your friends. It was just your picture and your profile information and stuff like that.
There was one piece of information here that suggested that maybe it would use your answers to market to your friends to try to, it's like, you know, so-and-so did this, so you should, it's like, did you know I've that so-and-so is a whatever? And it's like,
It'll post to your profile and be like, so-and-so took a quiz, like, they were this, take the quiz now.
But that's normal Facebook
sharing
operation. I mean, that's not even the stuff they were complaining about with Cambridge, so.
Anyone else remember Quizilla? From like early 2000s, late 90s.
Which Spice Girl are you?
Yeah, that's what those kind of quizzes were. That's
which one were you, Krista?
I don't remember. I used to take those quizzes all the time. That was before social media was a thing, so it was all anonymous.
If I've ever taken those quizzes, it was only to pollute the data stream.
Which Lord of the Rings character were you? I know you've taken that one.
I don't remember. I didn't take, I remember when I took, that was a, which Harry Potter house are you? I was Ravenclaw. No, you know. Important information.
Well, most Americans think Twitter and Facebook are censoring their political views. Is it that they're censoring their political views, or is it that there's some subtle manipulation? It's like, no, I don't think you're a Ravenclaw. I really think that you're, you know, Hufflepuff or whatever.
Oh, Hufflepuff. Well,
we know that the big tech companies are a little bit left.
They do kind of, they don't necessarily censor, but they do alter the way your data is presented when you
share it. And they've done the shadow banning. I mean, in fairness, they do shadow ban, you know, some of the more extreme lefties too. But a lot of the right wing, you know, all the way from white power to maybe we're paying too many taxes, you know, seems to get censored on Twitter. But this study was interesting because both sides of the aisle felt like the other one was overrepresented, which that shows me that people just don't understand that there's a lot of people who don't think like them. You know, it seems to be, it's just, that's just how the world works.
Well, the next logical step after that is to put those people in their own echo chambers, which is what it seems like a lot of these companies are doing, well, which is very bad.
Google News and Facebook both do that, right? They use that news algorithm to figure out what you want. And just give you that confirmation bias all day long. Because they know that's what you want.
They also do the thing where it's, or Facebook does this, where like, if it thinks it's not a legit source, it'll make the icon smaller.
I think that's, share a story. That's a, one of the many ways that they do go a little bit left. Where if there's any sort of, I mean, the anti-Trump stuff is, but that's, at the same time, anti-Trump is big money right now. That's, every late night talk show that exists right now, it's just a big anti-Trump rally every night. And, I mean, people love it. People are eating it up.
So. The writers don't even have to show up for work.
No.
Or anti-Jinping Z? Is that it?
I don't think you're not allowed to have that one.
We'll learn that. Like, I'm foreshadowing. That's something that's going to come up in the nonsense section.
Is that nonsense? I thought it was in this section.
Was it? No, I think it's nonsense.
No, it's a nonsense because it's so ridiculous. It is ridiculous. But my point is it political bias or is it just catering to the lowest common denominator? Because that's what these companies are going to do every time. They're trying to make money.
It's probably mostly lowest common denominator. Probably a little bit of bias as well.
You know what else Facebook is doing? Well, they've got a patent on this anyway. They want to spy on you by hiding secret inaudible messages in TV ads and force your phone to record private conversations, a patent reveals.
That's insane. So
I think the headline here is a little bit clickbaity. They did actually patent that. It does actually work the way it's described in the headline. But it's... this has come up in the past, and every time it has come up in the past, they have said this is not actually in a product right now, and yet there's a lot of anecdotal evidence of third-party apps where it's like, I was talking about a Jeep Grand Cherokee, and now I'm getting ads for Jeep Grand Cherokee, and I don't understand why.
Well, this specifically isn't so much to see what you're saying, but to try to determine if you're paying attention to the commercial.
So you get up and walk out or something like that.
Yeah, if they hear like the toilet flush while they hear the super secret tone from the commercial, then you're not watching the commercial, are you? So they can sort of feed that back to the advertiser. But remember the...
they call that theft.
The soccer or the soccer app?
Yeah.
This is basically the soccer app. Yeah. So people are doing this. There are other people. And I wonder if Facebook's like, hey, bro, that's our patent.
We're going to have to drink a verification can to continue our programming.
Oh, no, it was this one. It was nonsense.
It is in here, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's government. That's government.
So HBO's website is apparently blocked in China thanks to John Oliver.
Look at him.
He was the host has criticized the country's president for blocking Winnie the Pooh.
You got to show the side by side.
Is there a side by side in this article?
Oh, maybe this was. Oh, I think it was a Wall Street Journal, and it was paywall. Yeah. But anyway,
we've talked about that joke. Jing, several.
Is his name Jing or Jian or?
I'm not sure how to pronounce.
Xi Jinping.
Xi Jinping. Oh yeah, and he does look a lot like Winnie the Pooh. Have you seen the side by side?
I haven't seen the side by side. I've heard that before.
He definitely does.
We did a story about that before.
But apparently, he's very sensitive to that.
Why? Winnie the Pooh's a beloved children's book character.
But no, he's like the strong communist leader. He can't be a children's character.
Listen, Winnie the Pooh was very popular in the Hundred Acre Forest.
Remember when Erdogan from Turkey locked that guy up because he compared him to Gollum?
Oh, yeah.
There was a strong resemblance there, too.
So all of HBO has been blocked, which I think is probably going to result in corrective action to, you know, like John Oliver can make jokes, ha ha ha, HBO will not permit this.
Poor China, they're going to miss the finale of Game of Thrones.
Oh, they'll find it.
Yeah, I don't think
there's always a way.
I think they'll get the finale of Game of Thrones, but HBO might not make any money from that, which is the problem. Colorado lawmakers want to make it a felony to fly a drone over a wildfire. I don't see a problem with that.
I see a possible problem with it. I agree that flying a drone over a wildfire is probably a stupid thing to do. But if you recall, whenever something weird happens, like remember the big D.C. rally against, or was it against Trump or for Trump? I don't remember. But they shut down that airspace immediately. They didn't want any coverage of what was actually going on there. So that would mean that you could not observe. So if something goes down and people want to cover it in the news, the government can just shut that down at any time.
Wait, I thought this was just discussing like in the event of wildfires.
But they shut down the airspace over wildfires. So it'll be a product of once we shut down the airspace, you can't fly a drone.
What if you fly a drone on a tether? Because you can get away with that near an airport as long as it's not more than 100 feet.
Are you implying that someone would start a forest fire next to a rally?
No, I'm saying they don't have to have a forest fire to shut down the airspace. They can do that for, like Hurricane Katrina, they shut down the airspace.
Yeah, so they're already doing it. But this seems like a good...
This makes it a felony.
Oh, that's a little worse. Yeah.
So it is, slightly worse. I didn't understand the context you were indicating there.
Maybe it should be a felony if they shut down the airspace and there are aircraft operating in the same area of the drone.
Well, that'll always be the case because you'll always have some, like, you know, military or National Guard aircraft in any situation like that.
The firefighters mentioned that, like, a lot of times they'll be fighting a fire and they'll see a drone and they have to ground any planes they have immediately because if it hits it, that could cause a serious problem.
Yeah. Well, I think a case-by-case basis is fine here. Yeah. You know, maybe a possible felony, but I think it could be abused. Although, overall, definitely putting out fires. And flying a drone over a fire, you're pretty much just doing that for the YouTube views, right? Yeah. Like, there's no really good reason to do that.
For a vlog.
Here's my forest fire vlog. There's a couple instances where drones have actually started forest fires where they've crashed and their batteries have burst into flames. And then it started to forest fire.
And the firefighters hate that even more.
Firefighters hate this one weird trick. You know what else made the news this week? YouTube messing with thumbnails. So it's like
I don't know if this counts as the news.
Well, there's probably a better source for it, but this is where I saw it. It happened to be on Twitter. It came up on our feed. So
YouTube says we're running an experiment where 0.3% of viewers will see an auto-generated thumbnail instead of your custom thumbnail. We're not removing the ability. So, okay, whatever.
I don't understand what they're hoping to gain with this.
So,
I don't understand either.
I'm sure that a lot of our audience is furiously commenting already, but it seems like YouTube thumbnails that have like somebody with like a reaction face it's all like you can seriously manipulate the number of people that click on a video with a thumbnail that has certain components in it. And so I think YouTube is sort of noticing that all of the thumbnails are sort of gravitating toward those kinds of things instead of actually being relevant to whatever's being discussed.
How about the app icons on the Google Play Store for games?
It's
It's all
the same.
It's all the screaming face
Yeah.
With
yeah.
a little bit of spittle coming out.
That's pretty much YouTube thumbnails anymore. It's always someone going like, and then like there's like an RGB sort of glow behind them, and then like.
Well, let's do an experiment.
Ryan will do it.
No, I'm not doing it.
There's our thumbnail.
But does that not? I mean, again, that's the YouTube audience, right?
Yeah.
It is.
So why not give them what they want?
Well, you know, Team YouTube doesn't want anybody to exploit the algorithm.
They'll give you what you want 99.97% of the time, but 0.03% of the time, you're going to get what YouTube says.
I think your ratio is way off there. I think it's maybe 50-50 at best.
The YouTube people said, too, or like some of the comments in this thread, people were saying, what about people who pay for thumbnails to get made for them? Like, that kind of sucks for them that they paid someone to do that, and then there's a chance that someone won't even see it.
Well, it's the whole argument that, you know, don't base your livelihood on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because that's a bad idea, by the way.
There's also some language, in the YouTube terms of service, it says that they will not mess with your content, including uploaded thumbnails. So this would seem to run afoul of that, of the promise that they make in their user agreement, but it's their platform. So. Yeah,
well, they're going to change that and yeah. pray they don't alter it further. But again, all of the problems that YouTube has with the notifications, and maybe that's on purpose, but let's say it's not. Why are we wasting time with this? This is like PUBG putting out DLC. The game doesn't work.
We have a perfectly nice forum full of people at forum.level1.com.
people.
That's a bit of a stretch calling some of them people.
We love you all, and you know it.
We love some of you.
Most, yeah. Yeah, we try to help you find productive ways to fill your time.
Most people in our forum are perfectly fine.
We fail
fine.
Spectacularly. Based on
we're not
of
really selling the forum experience very well, but you should sign up anyway.
You should sign up to try and drown out the
shit
bad
posting?
Apple. Yeah.
It's like all that time spent shit posting and you could have accomplished something.
No, man. But look at this anime cat girl.
There has been a lot of that lately.
Well, it's not too bad. It stays in its own relegated area.
All right. We'll see you guys in the next one.